Skidmore Show. I am here today with my husband, guest, comedian, and quarantine partner, Stephen Randolph.
Hi, guys. Welcome to another episode of So Deep. I'm here with my wife, Chelsea Skidmore, the only safe guest to have today, and can't wait to get into it. It's going to be a little different this week. We're going to do a little check-in, each of us, and then Chelsea on Instagram asked for relationship questions, and boy, did she get them, and we're going to answer them.
And we are also joined today by Jagger Randolph, our newest addition, who is an English Bulldog puppy, 11 weeks. Jagger, do you have anything to say? He's not barking at this time, but hopefully he will have a word later from our sponsor, Jackie.
Jagger. He's so cute. I want to talk about getting Jagger, the journey.
Oh, my God.
The journey. Who knew getting puppies would be like getting
drugs.
That's exactly what it was like, the entire thing.
It was crazy. Well, so how long have we been inside for? Like 3 weeks, the quarantine thing?
Maybe 2 weeks? I don't know.
It feels like three. But basically, we had always wanted to get a puppy, and we decided what better time than now. That was Jaggy barking. So we decided, let's do it. Hey,
all right. We told you to talk. Now that's
we didn't tell you to talk that much. Yeah. We decided to, get a puppy, and we went down at first to Anaheim to look at some bulldogs, and
we went on Craigslist. We just started going on Craigslist, puppies for sale, and who knows, they're a come up, for kind of just fast talking, money making people, you know, like drugs or like any other kind of thing that you would expect on like Craigslist or just like a quick buy. And I just, you know, I'm pretty impulsive. You're a pretty good shopper. So I was just like, fuck it, let's get these. And, you know, we went to this one building and you're like, something was off. And you could tell by the way the guy was like mistreating them kind of. And like,
yeah, it was really shady. And I don't want to be stereotypical, but it was this Asian family and they seemed very shady. They just had shady energy. You know, you can just read someone's energy and it was shady. They had us meet them in Anaheim at this industrial complex where their clothing line was, quote unquote, clothing line. But it kind of just seemed like a front for like some shady fucking like life that they had. And
I think it was like a puppy mill or something. It didn't sit right with me. And, you know, the kid was really nice. That's what, like, the kid was really sweet and liked the puppies, but the dad just, like, dropped them off. He wasn't looking at us. There was just something that I couldn't put my finger on, right next to Disneyland.
You know? Yeah, he was taking calls and he wouldn't answer any questions. And, like, some of the puppies just, I don't know, they were cute, but it just fell off. And getting a puppy is a big purchase, you know, to get a little sweet bulldog, they're expensive. You know, we dropped $1,600 on it.
Yeah, and we got a good deal. I mean, they're like $3,500 to $5,000 if you wanted to go that high.
Yeah. You know? So as hard as it was to not, as you know, we drove all the way down to Anaheim. We had gone to Petco right beforehand and purchased all of the stuff for them. So it was really hard to walk away from them, but it just didn't feel right.
It was heartbreaking. I can't imagine like trying for kids or adopting mm-hmm. kids. You know, you hear all these stories and I've been like pretty disconnected to that. Like, whatever, get over it. You know, like, or, you know, pretty insensitive to that. But I was like, oh my God, like if this is what it feels like getting a puppy, because driving home from Anaheim with no puppy all the way back to LA, you know, I was like, it was sad.
We had
to
stop and emotionally eat at In-N-Out in the parking lot.
I know. And it was all roped off. It was weird. It was the first day of the quarantine, I think, that everything was like roped off inside. I was like, oh, this is weird. This is different.
Yeah. So then we spent a couple of days texting other people. We would like search on websites. We are also looking at Malty Poos, which are really cute. The little teddy bear.
My mom has one. They're cute.
And ultimately, like, some people dicked us around and, like, pretended they were going to come over for days and then didn't. And then we finally got into contact with this woman who had...
Crazy motherfucking lady.
She was definitely... Stephen said that she looked like Camille Grammer, which I agree with. She had, like, a very housewife
look. Calabasas, license plate, Mercedes.
She looked like a stripper or, like, past escort. Mm-hmm. She said she did real estate, but I feel like that's the cover.
That's always the cover. The escort or stripper cover is real estate.
Yeah, she had her face done. She was on point, but she was fucking out of her mind. She seemed like she was on meth or Adderall or something, and she was acting really, really crazy. And, oh, there's Jaggy. You guys can see Jaggy if you're watching the video.
Jaggy? Oh, a little cute.
You want to hold him, but I have his bone. Yeah. So so we got Jaggy, and
it was a crazy experience. So we roll up, and she was like, you know, kind of like being controlling. I'm gonna put Jaggy back down.
Or he can lay right here with us.
Maybe. I hope he doesn't ruin the mics or anything. But she was just like, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And I'm like, okay. And then she was like, now you have to go to Petco with me. And I was like, I can get dog food on my own. She's like, I want to watch you get the dog food.
Yeah.
And that's when it turned for me. I was like, okay. And we go in and I grab dog food. She's like, no, the kind I want. I'm like, okay, that was strike two. I'm like, okay. And then she was like, the size I want. You have to get the big one. And I'm like, lady, I'm 39 years old. I don't have to do whatever you want me to do. And then she's like, well, you're not going to get my dog. And then I was like, fine, I'll get this pet food. And then she was like, no, this one's fresher. She was just on one. And then I go, I'm triggered. I come from an abusive household.
Did you?
Yeah. I said, I'm triggered. I come from an abusive household. You're triggering me and you're a control freak. And this, you know, and she's like, I just want to make sure the dog's okay. I'm like, you're freaking me out. And then she was like, you don't get the dog. And then she left. And Chelsea, who up until this point was like, I think I wanted to get the dog more than you.
I wanted the dog, but I found her to be shady. And I keep looking at the people who are offering the pets. And like, she was just rubbing me the wrong way. And I was really trying to follow like intuitively how I felt about these people. Cause I feel like it also kind of proves on
all dog breeders, are
you know,
weird.
Yeah. And then we're realizing that.
Yeah. Like tiger breeders. They're just like a couple notches down from monkeys and tigers.
Yeah.
They're breeders. Breeders are weird.
I mean,
people.
Do you think someone never bought a tiger from Joe Exotic? Cause they're like, he was a little off. Was this tiger in a good home?
I think the tigers, there's a limited places you can go. I think he was one of the only, maybe there's, I don't know. But
so we ended up ultimately.
Yeah, that's when you were like, I want, because I was like, fine, get out of here. And she like raced to her car and Chelsea's like, no, I want him.
Well, he was so cute. Know, he was originally adorable. Named Chip.
I know, Chip.
But we renamed him Jagger because I was at home alone with him. And I just for some reason said Jagger. And he turned around and looked at me. I'm like, yep, that's his name.
No, tell everybody the real reason.
Okay, so we love the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And Dorit's son is named Jagger. And she's always like, Jaggy.
She's British. She's Jaggy. Like, Jaggy. But she's not even British. She grew up in America.
Yeah, Connecticut.
And she's like, Jaggy.
So he's our Jaggy. We love having Jaggy. And I just think it's really cute.
Can you tell everybody about how you DM'd her?
I accidentally DM'd her. So she had gone to the Laugh Factory and our friend Jay Davis had posted a picture of her, but I thought for some reason it was her. I mean, I thought for some reason he posted a picture of her, but she had posted a picture of them. So I wrote back to her and I wrote, I love her. And also right before that, I had asked her to do my podcast and she ignored me. So at this point, is that my thing jumping?
At this point,
can you fix it?
Yeah.
So at this point,
he's biting the cord.
She has read like several of my private messages and
responded to none.
So I'm like a little embarrassed. Hey,
Jagger, no.
Drop it.
He's biting a mic cord.
He's biting the.
We need to get him down.
I know. He's a little distracting, to be honest.
I know.
I can't really finish my thoughts with him here because he's so cute. Anyways, so the dog has been a trip. I think we've had Jackie for about a week now. And he is a lot, you know, it's just like having a kid. Like everyone says, Stephen wakes up with him at 5:30.
I got the 5:30 shift.
And I have the.
And then the second puppy wakes up around 11 o'clock.
No, I woke up at 8:30 today, but oh, yeah. I came out at 9:30 because I was on my phone and meditating. And then I take over and we kind of like, I'm really actually impressed because Stephen and I, you know, we do fight from time to time.
Yeah, I think it's normal.
But the puppy has really made us start working together. And mm-hmm. It's funny, like, being trapped in this quarantine kind of thing together and not really getting to do other things. Like, we've actually been getting along, like, a lot better.
I think so, too. Yeah.
And our sex is on fire.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's never been so good.
It has been.
Really?
Yeah.
But for some reason, it feels so good. Last night, I choked while I was coming. Because sometimes when
not like sexually.
No, I was lying back. I was lying down and he was eating me out. And it's so funny. I told this to Sarah and she goes, I know exactly what you're talking about. And sometimes your mouth like fills up with saliva when you're just like laying there. And then like the second I started coming, I tried to swallow the saliva, but it went down the wrong pipe. So I was like, it was, uh, it, kind of ruined it, but it was very fun. Babe. Yeah. Yeah, we've been, our house feels like a farm now.
I know.
It's we like, have the chores, he pees, we have the cooking, the cleaning.
You know how you go over animals. Some people's houses and it smells like dog? We're those people now. I need my real friends to tell me if it's getting too far. It's he pees everywhere. He's getting better. It's only been a week, but he pees everywhere. It's so cute.
On like, the carpet.
It's amazing that like I am a person, probably like most human beings, that I don't like shit. I don't like piss. I don't like shit. I especially don't like shit. Week one, at the end of week one, I've seen so much shit in my house that like I got it on my fucking thumb and kept making a salad. Like,
are you serious? Did you just fart?
No.
I got
what
it under.
What the fuck was that?
Because you looked at me and then you went up like that. Why are you so offended by that?
No, I don't
know. Why did that just throw you off so much?
I don't know.
Like, that was the craziest question in the world to ask you.
No, you're like, are you serious? Did you just fart? Like, that's why. That's
yeah,
weird.
Processing a couple of things.
Me too.
Anyways, so we love our little Jagsters. He's learning, and it's cool to see him progress and learn to go outside. And unfortunately, we can't take him outside until he's had all of his
vaccines.
That's
the part that sucks so much. We can't take him outside
on
till
a walk.
June 6 or something. On,
a walk until he gets his final
parvo
shot.
That's puppy disease, parvo. I took him to Blackwood today. So I held him and I walked in and everybody was like, oh my God, what? What?
Give him his bone. Give a dog a bone. Find his way home. Here you go, babe.
I want him to get laid. We got to bring some, like a female dog over here.
No, he's just a little baby.
Oh.
I sprayed this pink temporary spray in my hair. I think I might as well go for the semi-permanent.
I like it.
I've always wanted to dye my hair pink, but I couldn't because I felt like, oh, what if I have an audition or like a meeting or like whatever. But now that we're not really doing anything, it's like, why not?
Yeah.
He keeps biting my little toesies. He's teething right now.
I am kind of going crazy. I cannot be quarantined much longer.
So we just found out they're extending it to June 1st.
I think May 1st for sure, or May 30th maybe. But I think it's going to be till like
September.
No, I think it'll be till June probably. This is like, I'm an indoor outdoor cat. I'm still going to coffee. I'm still going to Blackwood Coffee and like getting my coffee and she yells at me. But I'm like, no, you don't yell at me. My friends do, though. My brother won't come over here.
I know. I went on a walk today, and I had to pee so badly, and there was a construction site, so I used the porta potty at the construction site.
That's not like
site.
You.
Yeah, it is. It's like something fun and crazy I would do and be like, I just used the porta potty at a construction. It was like
fun. Okay.
Yeah, and then I sent the picture of me in the porta potty to my friend Madison, and he like freaked the fuck out.
Madison,
like,
what's up with that?
And we got a huge fight, and he's like, you can't be doing that! Like, you have to say it. Jaggy's looking at me when I'm doing that.
I was starting off by saying I didn't think this thing was that serious, and maybe it is. I think my tone's kind of changed in the last 24 hours.
I think there's a lot of different stages, you know, similar to like the 7 stages of grief.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be going through different stages of acceptance, anxiety, anger,
depression.
We were
almost in Hawaii 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Do you?
Not like slandering my mom or anything like that. I think it was just my mom really had her, you know, she's, I wouldn't say at the end of her life, but she's getting older. This is a big deal. She saved, my mom has been saving up for a year to take everybody very generously and very, very nicely on a trip to Maui. So this was planned a year ago. Chelsea, me, my brother, my sister and her three kids, her husband, and my mom's husband, like all my mom's bills. So she would like plan everything. I mean, it was cute, even down to like she mailed me a gift certificate for, aw, thank you. Love you. She mailed me a gift certificate, or us a gift certificate
for an Uber,
which is so
for the
thoughtful.
Airport right there.
Like, it was, everything was planned, and my mom was looking forward to this, but my mom wouldn't accept. And I was up until yesterday not really concerned with this. And I know that sounds crazy, but that just,
what
it is.
Happened
what
happened yesterday?
Is. No, I was just like, I'm not going to freak out or anything, but I'm like, realizing, oh, we're going to be stuck. I thought this was going to blow over in a couple weeks and we're going to like, we weren't going to be stuck at home. But now, like with Trump now saying, oh, I'm going to extend it another month because he doesn't give a fuck. So if he's starting to give a fuck, that freaks me out a little bit. But I really didn't care. I think it's because I've had anxiety my whole life and every day has felt like a pandemic. I've been like, oh my God, I have AIDS. I have cancer. Oh my God. So it's almost...
I have a wife.
Yeah, I know. I have a wife. And I think it's just... I've always, like, anxiety has you preparing for some crazy thing around the corner. And now that it's here, it's almost like I don't feel crazy. My anxiety is like, see, I told you the world was going to end. So it's almost like I've had a calm experience. And being a heroin addict, where for a decade, I woke up putting needles in, being like, oh, that's a weird mark. Is my arm going to fall off? Got to go to Skid Row. This is not new to me, like a crazy reality that I might not be able to make it when you're a needle using heroin addict is I've already played this fucking game. I've had a couple. I'm sure each tour of Vietnam gets a little less scary. I've already, this situation that we're in where you might die and it's not safe, I've lived in that for a long time, so this doesn't freak me out. In fact, and I'm not being negative, but seeing how people react to this pandemic, and I'm not playing down anybody's loss or saying to go into groups or to not be safe, but there's some people that are freaking out so hard. I'm like, oh, you haven't been through shit. Mm. Like, oh, this is cracking you? Like, wow, you've had it, like, not to say like I'm jealous of them having it so good, but it's like, oh, you haven't been through shit. Like, to me, this is, I don't know. I've been through shit. So this is just like, ah, okay, here we go. Round two. Round three, round four. I don't know.
I thought I had it. And I think I might have. And Chelsea, I think it could have passed. But
you have anxiety disorder. Well, just like I have
major, and I had like a 7-day major anxiety. I had to up my anti-anxiety meds. And I also got an emergency Ativan prescription that I have not needed yet. But yeah, I was waking up every single day with like horrible anxiety.
No,
and, you know, what I had to do to adjust that was I had to stop reading the articles that everyone was sending me about the coronavirus, stop engaging in conversation about it, try to just take my space and start focusing on other things. I also had lost my sense of smell and taste.
That was real. Yeah.
For about 6 days. And everyone started sending me articles saying that I had it. You know, my body was achy. I had shortness of breath. I felt like I couldn't work out and I was freaking out. And it all passed. And right now I feel healthy. And, you know, it did last for 2 weeks. So maybe I did have it. Mm. And that it went away. And
I think most people will get it and it'll go away in a week.
Yeah. You know. It's interesting though. Like at the start of all of this, I started out being very productive. Like I rehung all of the art in our apartment. I can't think of what else I did. But
that's about it.
It felt like day one was like very productive.
I got productive today. I did.
And every day I've been cooking a new meal, a new recipe, which is so much fun. I really, really love it. So I'm just trying to stay busy, stay productive, and I'm trying to get back to focus on writing. But it's been a little hard for me with writing. I've done like a couple of blog entries, but like I want to start a new writing project. But it's been hard to, you know, I don't know. I'm like a little bit like... I crave writing, but I'm slightly unmotivated and uninspired, and I'm not even sure what to write about. You know, I want to start like a new, like pilot or screenplay or something.
Just to speak to that, like I'm shocked myself as someone who I've performed live performance multiple times a week for a decade now, and I feel almost guilty saying this because I like feel like I'm the only comedian that feels this way, but I'm not missing performing live at all. Like I've performed live for a decade and like I'm kind of like enjoying not going up and saying, hey everybody, like it's almost, I don't know if it's me just enjoying a time of a break, but like I don't miss stand up at all or live performance at all. I think I'm just tired. I think I'm just, and you know me, I'm a workaholic. I think this has caused me to just go, oh, dude, you're fucking tired, dude. And I love performing. I really do. Like, I was making a silly video last night with you on the balcony. So, like, I love performing, but performing for sold out, pressure on, it's kind of nice to have a little break. And I don't know if that means I'm not a real comic or something, but I'm enjoying it.
I don't miss the grind of stand-up because it really is a grind. It's a lot of work, you know.
It's a lot of pressure. I didn't realize how much Abby Roberge and I were talking about that. He said something like, dude, you don't realize how much pressure it is doing stand-up all the time, mm-hmm. until you don't do it for a week, because it's just like, dude, you have a show tonight at the main room, 8:00, sold out Joe Rogan show. I'm not nervous, but it's like, oh, that, okay. Like, I'm not going to like, I'm prepared for that. And there's a certain level of like, mm-hmm. and participatory anxiety, I guess, that you don't even know is there, but it's not till you didn't, till you walked, till Abby was like, it's not till you walk away that he was like, oh.
I think like the thing that right now is spent for is doing all the things that you don't have time to do. So like cooking or
eating,
writing
or ass,
reading a book. No, that's not it. I have time for that. I'm just not making time for it. Reading a book like on the patio in the sun is so nice. He's biting the mic wire.
No.
He's always teething on something.
No.
He's growing.
And he's growling.
He's growing and growling. We don't want him to get bigger. See, he takes my focus. It's also been hard to focus because he requires so much attention, whether he's pissing or shitting all over the carpet inside, or he's teething things, or just barking for our attention. Like, it's been hard to focus all the way through on a lot of tasks.
It's a really interesting trait that English Bulldogs have. They're extremely loyal. They're great with kids. They're great with other dogs. They're great in families. They're very loving. And they're stubborn, which is kind of like a funny thing. And I was like, how are they stubborn? Because he's nothing but love. And then the other night I was like, don't bite the shoes. And he just goes, like, they don't growl at you, but it's just like a, shut up. Like, it was kind of like, I was like, oh, there it is. There's the stubbornness.
What is your hope for the next month being stuck inside? What is something that you maybe want to accomplish?
I'm starting my own credit card processing business without getting into too many details. I am now starting my own credit card processing business. The agreement is being inked out as we speak. So I want to...
Solo.
Yeah, it'll just be my company, Aqua Payments. And so
Take a dip.
Yeah, take a dip. If you guys are in e-commerce, my goal is to get that set up and running, to get a bunch of customers coming in. They're already lining up. And just to get that toned in. And I just wrote a movie. I wrote the Martin Martins movie. And, you know, it is pitch deck ready, movie completely ready, 3-4 drafts. And my manager, Mike, was just starting to pitch right before coronavirus. So he just started sending it out. But my hope is that I don't lose that momentum. And hey, man, just because we're home, this is a great opportunity to hide. And for people who kind of are lazy and don't do shit, to look like they're really like, hey, look, I'm doing the right thing. I'm not doing anything. But like, if you have an internet connection, there's still shit you can do. So I want to like continue to, I want to read all the books I didn't have time to read, and I'm doing that. I want to get caught up on movies and television shows. He's pissed.
You just peed on the carpet.
You motherfucker.
We'll just leave it. We'll just leave it and clean it later.
We used to be cool. We had nice shit. Like,
he's just, why did he just do that?
Why did you just piss?
Why did he just do that? He's always peeing.
There's no point of that.
Why does he pee on the carpet? There's a pee pad that he just doesn't.
Hey, why did you do that?
He has ruined our carpet.
What is that? Because we're not paying attention to you?
Sometimes I feel like he tries to punish us.
I know, and it's working.
Fuck. I can't even smell it, though.
Oh, we didn't get to Hawaii. So anyways, long story short, my mom is very headstrong, just like me and my brother and sister. And my mom's like, we're going. And everybody was like, you're not going to Hawaii, right before they put the travel ban. And I don't even know if there's still a travel ban, but Hawaii did. They said, we don't want you here anymore. We were going to go to the last minute. And Chelsea and my brother,
I was like, we're not going. I Chelsea also felt was like, really we're not sick going. Actually during that time. And I felt uncomfortable because I was like, what if I have it and I give it to your family?
Wow. But yeah, that was a whole big thing. But do you want to get to those questions?
Yeah, let's get to the questions.
Or do you want to get to that question of like the question you just asked me?
Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt it.
I didn't really have an answer for myself, but I think what it is that I want to learn how to relax and be okay with it. I have a couple of books that I want to finish. I want to continue committing to cooking. I want to try to do some free online Italian lessons. I want to continue working out. You know, a lot of my friends are teaching Zoom classes, and I want to stay consistent with my health and wellness. And I also, you know, want to find a new writing project to work on.
Yeah.
A friend of mine are wrapping up like a pitch deck, for a pilot we co-wrote together. I have another pilot that we're waiting to hear about from people. But, you know, I've done a lot of work on a couple of my projects. So now I just have some time to start some new stuff. And so today I was like, wow, what should I start? So I'm going to, you know, dive into that process of starting over again.
And those of you, while you get that queued up, those of us who are in 12-step programs, I'm telling this to my sponsees, you know, in a 12-step program for drugs and alcohol and stuff, you don't just stop drinking. You know, there's 12 steps that you do, and that requires a lot of like paperwork, like a lot of like writing. And this is a great time to work steps. So if you're in a 12-step program, all you need is a phone, a notebook, and this is a great time to complete your steps and maybe never drink again. Just throwing that out there.
Awesome. Okay, we'll both answer the question.
He's chewing his damn bed.
It's all right. Hey. Just let him. It's just his bed.
Okay.
When was the first time you pooped in front of him is the first question. I honestly cannot remember. Oh, actually, I know when it was. I think this is when it was. When we were just dating, I went to your apartment in Sherman Oaks and I did an enema. Because you were going to fuck me in the ass. So I wanted to do an enema for some reason because it just felt like an extra like porny kind of thing to do. So I was shitting in your bath, but you didn't see it.
But I knew it was going on.
Yeah. And there was something like hot about that. Like yeah, I'm like cleaning that out my asshole for you.
Yeah. I like that.
That's my first memory of like shitting, but pooping in front of you.
Not in front of. I can remember the first time we acknowledged shitting is when we would do the Comedy Store open mic, also known as Potluck. And there's a bathroom right next door, the Ondas. It's a rock and roll hotel where like all the legends used to stay. And it's right next to the Comedy Store. And I remember we both had to shit. We both went in the stalls and shit.
But what about in front of each other?
I think maybe the enema day. The enema days. And then probably me just like shitting here.
And then me barging in and being like, so what?
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to ask the next question?
How often do you guys fuck? Not enough, Shirley.
That's not Shirley.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I think it's up and down. I think it really
like once or twice a week.
It really just depends, you know. In the beginning, like most couples, it was a lot more, and it really just depends on what's going on. Like lately,
I've been saying no lately.
Yeah, lately you've been saying no, and I've been saying hey.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, babe.
You know what it is for me, and I've done this before. I just lost 20 pounds. So my sister, if you want to know how, it's called Optavia. It's like a multi-level marketing thing. It's a kooky, wacky thing, but it actually works. And there are these meal plans. So you get like 5 mini meals. They call them fuelings. And then one real like vegetables and protein. And I've been doing it for 43 days, and I lost 20 pounds. And but doing the calorie cut down, it's killed my sex drive. I'm not as horny for some reason because I'm like on a calorie deficient.
That's interesting that you say that, because for me, like what makes me horny or what makes me feel like, you know, is when I feel attractive about myself.
I feel really attractive about myself lately.
So when if I lose weight or I have like makeup on, or like right now, like the pink hair dye, like I feel cute.
Mm-hmm.
Like it puts me, or it depends on like what I'm wearing. It puts me in like a mood. But if I'm just like laying around in sweatpants eating macaroni and cheese, I couldn't be further from being horny.
Interesting.
But like if I'm like in a little, like last night I was in like my tacky little pink furry robe.
Yeah.
And like.
That's fun.
It was
yeah.
just like a mood.
That's fun. I would like to have more blowjobs.
Okay. Was it love at first sight is the next question.
Yes.
Yes. let's see. What is your favorite book to read?
My 12-step, the big book.
I knew
book.
You were going to say
the
that.
The big book from 12-step. We don't say that. It's anonymous. The big book from 12-step. And then I would say... the last book I read is Never Eat Alone by Keith Frazee. And I really like that. And then I really like Think and Grow Rich. And I also like
Napoleon Hill.
And I also like Joshua P. Warren's, book Use the Force.
Yeah, that's a good one. Right now I'm reading, On Writing by Stephen King.
Oh, you were telling me some cool stuff about that. Can I get a sip?
Yeah. Which, I'm really liking. I've been like taking a little bit of time to, can you press that for me?
Mm-hmm.
Would you mind? My phone's on low battery and we're recording this on my phone. So yeah, that's what I'm reading right now. And I'm enjoying it. First time sex with him after how many days you guys met? Okay, that's not a clear question, but I think what the question is, how many days after you guys met did we have sex? It took 3 years.
I think 3 years, yeah.
3 years.
3 years, and I ate her pussy.
How the fuck did you get a chance to fight Chuck Liddell?
I was working for Big Brother magazine. I was interning at Big Brother magazine. Chuck Liddell was an unknown at that time, and he was a cage fighter. I don't even think for the UFC. So he wasn't like a UFC guy yet, but he was doing like these Brazilian cage fights. And in 2000, they came out with a cage fighting video game. And Chuck Liddell was one of the characters, so they chose him to promote this video game. So he came down to Big Brother magazine at the Larry Flint building, and I was pissing next to Chris Naracco, who was one of the writers. He was like, "Hey, you want to fight a cage fighter next week?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "You want to do it in a pink tutu?" And I was like, "Fucking bring it." So yeah, it was set up by Big Brother magazine, owned by Larry Flint and Chris Naracco. And it was actually, the fight took place, little known fact, in the backyard where all the first Jackasses were done. So Johnny Knoxville, like tasering himself, and all those early Jackass videos, like for the very first Jackass, it was the same backyard. That's where I fought him in Hollywood. It was really fun. He was a really nice guy.
Codependency on either side. How do you deal with it?
I'm going to start working 12-step programs in that. I do have codependency, and I notice that. I'm very codependent with Chelsea, and I'm very codependent in all my friendships. I'm codependent with what people think about me and just everything. And that is so funny. I'm so glad that was asked. That is something I'm healing around money, around alcoholism. Sex addiction really isn't an issue. And codependency is the next thing that I want to work on. And I believe it's causing me a lot of like panicky pain, and it's all childhood parenthood stuff. And I can't wait to work on it. What about
you? Yeah, I definitely have codependency, and sometimes I'll really notice it pop up. I remember early on, like almost 3 weeks ago during this whole quarantine thing, Stephen was like, "Oh, I'm going out all day." And I actually said the words, "You're escaping?" And I was like, why did I say escaping? That's like such a crazy word. But that's like how I truly felt. I felt like he was trying to like escape me.
No, not at
that
all.
I was holding him captive, but like, I think sometimes like things will feel like that severe to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've always been codependent with my friends. I've always had like that one best friend that I hang out a lot with. And I really love spending time with Steven, and you know, it only hurts when the other person is setting the boundaries. You know, I can swim in codependency and like feel okay with Steven. But when he wants to set some sort of boundary saying he's going to spend less time away from me, it always hurts my feelings, even though I know it's not meant to. For some reason, it just doesn't feel good. So that's something like I want to work on, like knowing it has nothing to do with me and it's for for the health of both of us. And
it makes
like
me feel better. Like, so I've been setting boundaries lately, and I've been trying to get some more me time, and like I need to hang out with the guys more. Like, in that's something that in therapy, it was like, what do you do outside of comedy, credit card processing, or Chelsea? And I was like, nothing. So before this whole thing, I started doing jujitsu, and that was like a really fun thing. It was just all guys, and we're all rolling around, and like my buddy comedian Abby Roberts would come in, and you know, it was just a fun thing. And so that's something I started playing video games with my brother, and just like going and walking around by myself and doing something that isn't Chelsea or isn't my relationship. That makes me appreciate Chelsea even more, and it has nothing to do with her. But whether it was my best friend Casey Maloney, my friend Taylor, Bill Posley. Like, Bill Posley said the funniest thing: my last relationship was codependent, and when it ended, I was like, that's my last codependent relationship. And he goes, "I have news for you, bud. You're still in one." and like, that was so funny. That's what so Bill funny. Posley said. So it's not them, it's me. And it's like I attach on to things. I was codependent with the Comedy Store. I didn't think there was fucking comedy outside of one club. And like, people used to be like, "Dude, it's just a comedy club." I'm like, no, I was codependent with the Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's something that I struggle with, that I really want to get healing around and get right size with.
What's the age gap like? Any issues? For those of you guys who don't know, Steven is 7 years older than me. I don't notice it. I feel like I never think about like our age difference.
I don't think
about
it ever.
Feel like 7 is that much older than me. I've always dated guys that were older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really feel a difference. And I feel like I'm very mature for my age anyways. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you seem like you're the same age as me.
Yeah, I feel like we're the same age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anything, it seems like maybe you're 4 years older, but I don't notice it because it's not like you're like 15, 20 years older.
Yeah.
And this is for you. Do you have a hard time being with a young, pretty, powerful woman as a almost 40-year-old ex-degenerate?
Okay, that's a little
Do you know this person?
Who is that?
Don't say it out loud.
No.
Okay. But I like
I've
the
seen
question.
That. I've seen that name. No, not at all. No, I don't.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys have similar spiritual ideas and or sex drives? That's like a two-parter.
So to speak to the spiritual, yeah, we do. I mm-hmm. feel that we're really in line with that. Yeah.
We both started praying together at night. And
ooh, that's been really fun.
I heard that at a 12-step meeting that this guy who had been sober for a very long time, every single night, him and his wife alternate praying. And Stephen and I started doing that. And we haven't missed a night, really. I mean, no. Maybe once or twice on just being really tired. But you know, it's just something like nice to bring spirituality and God into our relationship. Mm-hmm. And we also have done some like spells together. So that's fun. And we'll read, you know, the 12-step literature together mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. discuss, the program and working with others. And Stephen knows a lot about 12-step programs and has really, been like a really big guiding light for me.
Oh, thank you. And, I love it.
So that's really cool. Do we have similar sex drives? I think as a guy, you just have more of a sex drive.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning of our relationship, we both were really sex crazy, but I evened out a lot as my life changed drastically and I settled down more into being a woman who, was in a healthy, secure relationship for the first time. And in the past, I was always in toxic relationships where I felt like my self-worth and validation was based on my sex and what I had to offer. So once I finally was in a relationship where I felt comfortable in myself, I didn't feel the need to offer myself sexually all the time. Mm-hmm. And to just lead with that. And I felt a lot more comfortable just leaning on who I am as a person and checking in with myself and saying, do I really want to have sex right now? Or like, can I just have a conversation with him about something that I want or need that I'm not like getting an answer for? So I've tried to just balance it in a healthy way and like really listen to myself on like, you know, when I do want to have sex and when I don't. And, you know, and the times that I don't, like, I rarely like do, but like also, you know, we have to meet in the middle and find a balance as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they're about the same, but I'm a little hornier.
Yeah. Since you're both funny, do either of you get tired of each other's bits?
Yes. I don't get tired of Chelsea's bits. I get tired of like doing bits.
I kind of think it's fun. Like last night I was laughing so hard until I was crying mm-hmm. filming the video of Stephen like singing on the patio in opera. Like that stuff is so much fun to me. Like I was just cracking up and I laughed so hard for the first time in a couple of weeks and it just felt really, really good for me. And like sometimes we'll do these bits together and I definitely want to do them more than him or like we'll, like a funny moment will happen and then we'll like try to reenact that moment, but pretend we're filming a TV show and try to do something without laughing.
Yeah.
And like, that's like, just like a fun little
thing. I like doing bits, but one thing that I've complained about is like, cause Chelsea's like comedy 24/7 and sometimes I've been like, I feel like this apartment's like a green room and like, I like to get away from, comedy. It's the most important thing in my life. I adore comedy. I love it. But sometimes I like to go home and just watch like Cold Case Files, like, or like, you know, the murder shows.
You've literally never watched Cold Case Files.
Well, what do you call them? The one on like the
Drug
forensic
Lords?
Like forensic files. Like I like friend. What do you mean Cold Case? I've watched.
I'm kidding. Okay.
No, like, but I like to. It's almost like a UFC fighter probably doesn't come home and just punch around with their roommate or their wife or their husband. Like sometimes I just want to take a break from bits.
Yeah, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Okay. How to keep the attraction and sex life interesting as the single days?
Anal.
For me, it's like always based off how I feel. Like if I feel good, then so like, for example, like making the effort to like put on something sexy. Like surprising Steven is something that I enjoy doing. So like if he's just hanging out in the other room and then I come out and I'm in like lingerie and thigh highs with like a choke collar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like one time you came home and there was like candles everywhere and I had it like set up and I was like, you know, or like doing like a little strip show.
I like that. I like the strip show because Chelsea was a stripper. And so like if she does like
strip
show
stuff.
So
I'll like put on an outfit and we'll put on some like 90s alternative rock and I'll like do a little dance. And like
I like that.
That kind of stuff is very fun, feels very fantasy
like. I like that.
It's just like switching it up and like the times because I like to have sex during the day
and I like to have it at like 2 a.m.
which I'm too tired at. So it's kind of just like just trying to keep things exciting and interesting and playing around with like, you know, we have these like questionnaires that I got from Sex with Emily. You can check it on her website, but like you can answer questions about things that you like and you still have to give me yours.
I know. Anal.
Did the two of you really have sex with your maid of honor on your wedding night? No, we didn't. The next morning
my brother did.
She got the next morning. Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, so she fucked Steven's brother, Allie. But the next morning, she left his room and got locked out of her room. So we said, come in the bed. And then we told her to take off her clothes. And
you told her.
I told her to take off her clothes.
You said, take off your clothes. And then she did. And
then we all cuddled naked.
Steven, show her your dick. I was like, this was my first morning of marriage. I was like, this is.
And then we took a selfie all naked because it was just fun. We love it. It was nothing weird.
We love Allie.
Okay. How not to drive each other insane in the time of Corona.
Taking space.
So what that means is, you know, we have a one bedroom apartment and we do have a balcony. So, you know, going out on the balcony and shutting the door, going for a drive, going for a walk, you know, leaving, getting coffee, us separating in the bedrooms, in the living room.
I just watched a movie by myself in the bedroom. I watched Honey Boy. So mm-hmm. I need space where I like being in the same, like I can't wait to have like a 2-3 bedroom. Like I like being in the same place with Chelsea, but it would be nice to just be in my own room and read a book and just like my best friend Casey is married and his husband Tab, like they have like a cool house and like Casey will just be in his music room working and then Tab will be like in the other room watching TV. And it's nice to be in the same place, knowing you're in the same place, but doing your own thing like that. I think that helps.
Jealousy, why and why not?
Sometimes I get jealous. I get jealous of other guys. Sometimes you get jealous of other girls.
Not really though. I'm just like, who's that? And then you tell me and then that's it.
Yeah.
I just want to know who someone is.
Mm-hmm.
Steven used to be very jealous with guys.
Well, I just know how guys are. And I
you've
feel
gotten
like
better though.
I feel like women don't know that all of us are fucking creeps, and even the ones that act like we're not creeps, that just means we're bigger creeps. And so most, if not every single guy, his sole mission is to fuck. And you may act, you know, for political reasons or be like, hey, what's up? No, dude. Like, but even like the guys who white knight as like good guys and like the whole Me Too, like the men who are like, I support you ladies. Like you don't know what it's like being a guy. We're all fucking horny. So when I see a guy being your best friend, I don't know. I trust no one. I just know how guys were. I just know how guys are. Like, I know how I used to be. I know how guys mm-hmm. are. So I think that sometimes that you have blinders on and I'm like, oh, this guy wants to fuck, which I don't think you will do it or anything like that. But I'm just like, I know what's going on here as a guy. Women, this is for the women, because guys already know this. Most guys want to fuck you. And we as men who are dating you or married to you have to act like we don't know that. There's this weird guy code where it's kind of just like we have to be like, oh, I wonder what they want. Like, I don't know. It's a game. And so it's tough sometimes when you know what another guy's intentions are. But at the same time, you'll pick that up on a woman, be like, dude, who's this girl? Why does she keep commenting on your stuff? Mm-hmm. Why is it, you know?
You can tell.
You can feel it out. So it's not maybe all, but you can tell.
Family functions with unfavorable family members. How do you cope with such situations?
I just don't go. And that has been a game changer for me. I really don't like a lot of my on my mom's side. Well, it's just on my mom's side. There's 100 cousins. I like a ton of them. And there's a lot of them I probably will never see again unless it's like at a funeral or wedding. And I just don't fucking go. I don't go. And Wayne Dyer, a spiritual teacher, he said, you know, I walked away from the tribe a long time ago talking about his family of origin. And he goes, they don't even realize it because they still send me invitations to their parties all the time. And when I first got sober, I remember I went over to a Christmas party, and one of my uncles was just a motherfucker to me out of nowhere. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm 28 years old. Like, I'm going home. And everybody's like, you're going home? I go, yeah, I'm going home. I went and got a massage mm-hmm. and went home. And I remember telling my sponsor at the time, my 12-step sponsor, he's like, yeah, you got disrespected at a party and you walked home. Good job. That's great. You can do that now. And there's still a little part of me that's like, I have to, no, like you kind of like become a little kid, or at least I do in family functions. But I'm like, I just don't go. I don't put up with it. I have a zero tolerance policy for disrespect or any bullshit with family.
And if my family does something I don't like, I just take some space and don't talk to them.
You've been doing that.
I set a boundary and I let them know.
We'll try later. Yeah.
Yeah. If they say something I don't like, I'm like, yeah, I feel like we're not like getting along right now. I'll talk to you another time. Yeah. And I hang up. Were either of you hesitant about dating a fellow comedian?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
What constitutes a date and dating?
In general, like a date is where you go out with somebody that you have sexual romantic interest in. You go somewhere, it's like an interview process. And when you're dating, that means you already have the job.
Yeah. There was one more question somewhere else that I'm looking for. A date is just going out with someone and it feels a little more casual. And I think dating, is there some texting going on, communication outside of like the date, you know, that in between texting, phone calls, you know, the post on social media really makes it official.
That's when you know.
Here, I'm looking up one last question that Jason Cervantes had.
I love Jason Cervantes. Been trying to get him on the podcast for years. Jason went to St. Francis High School with me, and Jason was the wildest guy from our high school. Took out his penis in class. I'll let him tell the story. Jason's the person. We went 140 miles an hour in a car while Jason was driving, drinking a BMW Beamer. Drinking a beer, we were doing 140. And I remember I was scared. I was like, bro, get the... I was watching it go to 140 in cars that we were driving, like that on the freeway, they were doing 65. We were going by them at what, 80 miles an hour or whatever. So it was like, that was the most scared I've ever been. He couldn't be... What's the fastest you've been in a car?
I don't know. I don't like going really fast.
Me neither.
In cars.
Me
like
neither.
Like 100.
Yeah.
Or something.
Me neither. That's not my thing.
Here's his question. Is a little bit of jealousy healthy, or is it never a good idea under any circumstance?
I think it's healthy. A little bit's healthy.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it just seems like what you've been doing, what like people have been doing since they were like cave people. Mm-hmm. I think it's impossible to not be jealous. I think it's like completely normal and healthy, but I think, it's normal and healthy to feel anything, but how you react and the actions that you take are what defines whether or not it's good or not.
Mm-hmm.
There's another question that I'm pretty sure is a joke, but it says, why am I alone when I'm clearly so beautiful? And I'll say this.
It's your attitude.
It's your attitude. It's your behavior. It's the way that you treat other people, and it's the way that you treat yourself.
And there's just some victim energy in that question, and I could already tell you're a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Why am I alone when I'm so beautiful? Like, that's already like a victim mentality kind of a thing.
It sounds like you probably already have negative thoughts all the time. And like, negativity isn't going to get you a relationship. It's not going to get you that job. It's not going to get you the career that you want. It's not going to get you anything.
And looks fade fast. Let me tell you, like it's not about looks. Like with guys,
I'm not with Stephen for his looks. I'm with him for his big heart.
No, but like Tommy Lee said something funny in that book.
The drummer or the actor?
The drummer. That's so funny. The drummer in the Motley Crue book. But he was like, you know, he was talking about when he first started dating, I think, Heather Locklear. He's like, if you're not into somebody, sleeping with them once or twice is usually enough. And with guys, it's like, so if you're the most gorgeous girl in the world, if we've slept with you once or twice, and that's all that it is, that's like, you're kind of like, okay, I've already done that. So what we fall in love with is personality. Believe it or not, we really do. If you're a gorgeous girl and no one's sticking around, like, what are you doing to push people away? You know, you got to think that. I assume that was a woman.
It was actually a guy who wrote that.
Oh, that was a guy that wrote that? Interesting.
But it was obviously a joke, but I think there's a little truth in there. And what I just heard from that is, why am I alone? So maybe stop asking yourself, why am I alone? And get that out of your head that you are alone and start living in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Steven and I had been friends for 3 years and then we had hooked up and we weren't quite like, he wanted to date and mm-hmm. like, you know, pin me down or whatever the phrase would be.
Pin you down.
And, I was like a little anxious, you know, I wanted to be with him, but I wasn't ready to completely let go. And that defining moment for me is when he was on his way over, I was curling my hair and I burned my stomach really badly. I have a whole burn right here from my curling iron. And we were supposed to be hooking up and doing like a role play thing where he was like a creditor fixing my credit or something.
Credit repair. Which I do.
Which he did. And
I'll still do it for $2,000.
And so I felt really bad that, you know, I ruined our little hookup thing, and he did not care at all. And he was like, oh my God, I'm taking you right now to CVS. And he took me to CVS. Mm-hmm. He got me bandages. He put them like on my stomach and the cream, and he took care of me. And he went into this like immediate nurse mode. And we were in the parking lot leaving CVS, walking towards the car. And I go, Steven. And like my voice cracked. And I go, I don't want to be with anyone else. And Aww. It was like a moment in a movie. And it was just in that moment. I'm like, this is who I want to be with. Like,
so,
you know.
That's cool.
And that was like the moment that I was like, I just have to be with this person. Like, I love him. He cares about me.
Aww.
And like, you know, I'm friends with a couple of girls who, you know, A lot of people want to find reasons to not be with someone. But like, if someone treats you well and they're a good person and it makes you feel secure, that's all you need to be with someone. Like, mm-hmm. like, don't pass those people up. I think a lot of people are full of fear. So they'll be like, well, I don't like this about them, or I don't like that about them, mm-hmm. or like, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, a lot of people make excuses to constantly not want to be with someone. And it's like, just get over yourself and just trust fall into, you know, a relationship with someone. And if you are single
mm-hmm.
and you're having trouble dating or finding someone, like, you need to do some work on yourself
mm-hmm.
and really like get some awareness.
We both did a lot of work on ourselves.
So much work. And like getting self-awareness, like a lot of people think they're the shit and they don't do anything wrong, but it's like, how are you acting on dates with people? A big thing that a lot of my girlfriends do and that overshare? I used to do, yes, is that they overshare. So like, a friend of mine will go out with a guy, and on the first date she'll say, hey, I overdosed before and I used to do this and I used to do that and I was molested. And a guy's just like, and it's like you give
them reasons
vomit
to run away.
All this stuff to try to push people away. And I think the idea behind that is, well, I want to tell them now, so, you know, later when they find out who I am. And that's like that belief about yourself. Mm-hmm. It's people finding out later who I am. Maybe you're a great person. Start thinking about yourself in a different way.
Yeah.
I'm nervous my phone is going to die. Do you want to cut it?
No, yeah. So, you guys, this has been another episode of So Deep and...
The Chelsea Skidmore Show.
Rate and review on iTunes. Oh, follow us. So, follow me on YouTube. That really helps. So it's if you're listening to this and you want to see my wife, you want to see me, my dog, and the feed, and I put a lot of funny videos up, go to youtube.com/Steven Randolph. That's /STEVEN RANDOLPH. And on Instagram and Twitter, it's @Steven Randolph2. That's @STEVEN RANDOLPH2. Add me, follow me. I'd love it. And would love the support. Chelsea?
And I'm Chelsea Skidmore on everything. CHELSEASKIDMORE. Thank you guys so much for listening. And
stay safe out there. Stay sane. Just know that, look, we're taking this seriously, this pandemic and the flu or the coronavirus, but we will get through this. We will be okay. This is going to be something we talk about in a year. Remember how weird that was? And remember, I have a therapist that goes, that said, in a year from now, we're going to go, remember how relaxing that was when we could just sit and do nothing? So he goes, you know, not to downplay it or anything, but we will get through this. Humans are tough. It's going to be fine. We're going to be okay. And one thing that I've learned throughout this is I really need people. Like, my car is doing this weird thing. I'm like, I can't go to the mechanic. I didn't realize how dependent on you guys, you people, us. I miss coffee shops. I miss the buzz of conversation. I miss people. So that's one positive thing I've gotten through this. And I love you very much.
I love you too. Bye.